Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Who would have thought that we are in the month of March? It is absolutely incredible. It feels like time is moving very, very quickly. I am excited to share the word of the Lord with you today, and I cannot wait for us to get into it. Before we step into the word of the Lord, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Number one, go to Google or iTunes and download our church app. There are tools there. There's information there that can help you every day spiritually. Also, I want to make sure that you are connected with us. And so one of the ways you can connect with us is to go online and give us your email. That's right. Go online, sign up, give us your email right there. All that information is on our website, www.thekingdomlife.com. We want to remain connected to you. We want to let you know what our next steps are, what our plan is to reopen, when we plan to do that, and all that wonderful stuff. We want to keep you in the loop. And one of the best ways to be able to do that is to have a way to contact you. So if you're watching us and you enjoy this ministry, if we've been a blessing to you and you want to stay connected with us in that way, we want to remain connected to you and continue to be a blessing. So go to www.thekingdomlife.com and give us your email and your information so we can remain connected and inform you of our next move. I want to take you to the word of the Lord. We're going to be coming from the book of Numbers, and we're going to pick this up in Numbers, the 13th chapter. And if you give me just a second here, I want to read this from the King James Version, if that's all right. It doesn't change that much. Old Testament scriptures don't change that much in terms of translation, whether it's New King James Version or Amplified or NIV. But I'm coming from the King James Version. Numbers, the 13th chapter, verse 25 is where I want to pick this up. And the Bible says this, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought back fruit from the land." The Bible describes they brought back fruit that were a cluster of grapes big enough that two men had to carry it. They brought back fruit from the land. Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature." I want to stop right there. And for the next few moments that we have together, I want to talk to you about a provocative subject, or at least a provocative title. I want to talk with you about a new language for a new story. A new language for a new story. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, without a word, how shall we live? Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Your word is quickening. It's powerful. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, I'm asking that you speak such a word to us today that it makes us come alive, that it gets to the heart of the issue. Let this word, Father God, cause us to become everything that you see us as. Touch our hearts so that it's open to receive the word, anoint our ears that we're able to hear it, and have your way, Lord God. You transcend time and space, and it doesn't matter if we're in the room together or if we are in our living room or in our bedroom or in our kitchen or our basement or our car listening and watching this right now. You can show up right where everybody is because you are omnipresent. You're everywhere present. And so we welcome you into our atmospheres and we say, come, Lord Jesus, speak a word that would change it all. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, just go ahead and shout amen right where you are. A new language for a new story. It is not lost on me that we are coming out of, while we're still dealing with, a period in time that upended just about everything for everybody. We've all learned through the pandemic that, one, we can adapt. We've learned that there are some things that are essential and there are some things that are not essential. We learned if we like our family members, if we like our spouses. We learned if we like our jobs. We learned a lot this year. And as we're stepping into, coming into a new year, stepping into the third month of the year, we find ourselves in this moment to ask ourselves a question, that will we step into a new normal with old language? Will we step into this moment holding on to old stories? Will we be stuck in our past? The truth of the matter is that many of us are living within an old story. And a new story is trying to be told, but the problem is we don't have the language for it. If our story was that of victimization, if our story was that of marginalization, if our story was that of oppression or depression, if our story was that of suffering or of doubt or of debt or disease, whatever the story was, the new story that's on the front page, the new story that's in front of us, the new opportunity that we have, the new moment that we can step into, will need our help, and it'll need us to let go of the old story, whatever that was. But many of us find ourselves being stuck in the framework, stuck within the pages of an old story. I would suppose this is why the Bible says God is the author and the finisher of our faith. But we are the narrators of our story. The reason we are the narrators of our story is because the Bible also says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You have the power and authority to tell your story, and it is up to you which version you tell. This is why I love how God starts the Bible. When we read Genesis 1 and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you have to understand that's not God's beginning. It's just where he decided to start the beginning. It's where he chose to start the story. And he doesn't shy away from starting the story at a place where it was chaotic, because he understands that the chaos can become a canvas, it can become a backdrop where he can create something brand new. He's showing us a pattern of his wisdom that you can go through a moment of having everything right, everything good, everything in order, and then something can happen, and then it brings disorder, it brings discomfort, it brings chaos. But out of all of that, creation can come. And if you find yourself in that sort of story, wherever it started and wherever you are in it, you've got to get to the part of creation. You've got to get to the part where something wonderful can come out of it all. And right where you are, right in the beginning of this message where we're starting this story, I need you to shout. I need you to say, I need you to type in the comments right there. Something good is about to come out of this. Something good is about to happen. Something wonderful is about to take place. Something good is going to come out of this. And it is here that you have to identify and you have to understand that where you want to go and how you want to get there, how you want to arrive, the story that you want to tell. There's some things you have to do that you've never done before in order to get to that place. Because your future isn't something that's out there, isn't something that's so abstract that you can't touch, that you can't reach. Your future is always a decision. It's always something on the inside of you, not something that you wait for. It is something that helps to create with the imagination that God gave you to tell the story in a different way, to let go of what happened and who did what and what you came out of. That's all part of the story, but it's not the whole story. And we all have the part of our story where we realize something happened, but I'm just trying to tell you that's not all that happened. But we fixate on what happened and we can't get out of those narratives and it keeps us locked into where we are. But in order to go where you want to go, you're going to have to tell a different story. You're going to have to find new language for a new story. You and I are uniquely creative beings. We were formed and fashioned in the image of our Creator. And so what we desire and the expressions that we give to those desires are far more powerful than we think. Stop waiting for your future to show up and go meet it. Stop waiting for it to come. Stop waiting for somebody to discover you. Stop waiting for it to happen and go meet it. Wherever you are, and it doesn't matter if your past was horrible, it doesn't matter if your past was wonderful, it doesn't matter if it still leaves you unfulfilled and not satisfied and you're still wanting more, or your past has been so great that you got so many stories to tell, there's still another page, there's still another chapter, and it's all ahead of you. It's all out in front based on every decision you make, based on the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you think. It's all there. But if you don't have the language for it, if you don't have that sense of destiny on the inside of you, and if you don't have the wherewithal to know that you can't show up in the new story with old language. Because what you'll find yourself doing is rehearsing and recycling and regurgitating the same pain and the same trauma and the same mess and the same hurt and the same disappointment over and over and over and over and over again. And it will feel like there's a distance between where you are now and where you want to go. But can I tell you that the real distance, the real culprit, the real reason for why it feels so far away, the real distance between where you are now and the place of where you want to be is not calculated by feet. It is not calculated by the days or the weeks or the months or the years. It is measured. It is arranged. It is calculated by your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is calculated in the way you think and in the way you speak. To the extent that your thoughts, your language, what comes out of your mouth serves to integrate all of the various parts of your life and your life outcomes. Regardless of where you are, regardless of position you're in, regardless of the circumstances that you're in, regardless of what it looks like, everything you want, everything that you desire, the promises of God that are there for you are simply within earshot of your mouth. Oh, I'm talking good. But it all starts in your imagination. And when I talk about your imagination, I'm not talking about some bad dream you had because you ate a piece of cold pizza. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the authentic creativity that's down on the inside of you. We all have it. We all have it. But because of the conditions we find ourselves in and because of the history of those conditions, it keeps us locked into this place called a comfort zone, this comfortable spot, this environment that we construct to cushion us from any type of change, from any type of thing coming to disrupt what we call normal. This comfort zone that we place around us because we've gotten so used to things here. This is what holds us back from greatness. This is what stops us from moving forward. These boxes, these bubbles, whatever you want to call it, as it is constructed around your life, discredit dreams, other people's and ourselves. Have you ever found yourself getting on somebody's this thought of their dream? And had to catch yourself to find out why you responded with such vitriol. It's their dream. It's their life. They're the ones that want to go after it, not you. And if you find yourself catching yourself in that space, it could be that you've erected such a comfort zone that other people dreaming disturbs you. Oh, my God. You have to understand that your imagination is a valuable feature to your future. It is designed to produce results. It is the thing that enables you to create something, to do something and to create something other than what already exists, and to take what exists and see something new that can come out of it. God said, I do all things. I behold, I make all things new. He didn't say I'm going to make new things. He says I'm going to make all things new. That means I can take what is and show you something inside of what is and make something completely new. I can take Adam and pull a rib out of his side and make woe man and show you something completely new. I can make all things new. That's why the Bible says any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are now made new. You are a creative individual and you can think creatively and express new ideas that can become a reality. But it requires you to talk and to think in that fashion. Have you ever done the exercise of how many things a paper clip can be? And if you ever done it, most people can come up with 10 or 15, but the greatest ones can come up with hundreds because They think so out of the box that they have redefined the paperclip itself. And so in their minds, the paperclip is not a paperclip. It becomes the thing they say it's going to be. And I'm here to tell you that your future can become the thing that you say it's going to be. If you can think that far outside of the box. And this requires your imagination, but it also requires your perception. And it requires you to be able to elevate your perception to the point that you can see yourself living in this new place, living in this new position, doing that type of work, having that type of job, holding that degree, living that lifestyle, that you can see yourself. It's all about a snapshot of who you are. And until you get the discipline to question your perception and base it on the truth, the reality of what is, whether it is chaotic, or cosmic, or whatever it looks like, this is the reality. I can still create from it. And if you can develop that, if you can hone that, then your concept of self will become so powerful that it won't matter the position you find yourself in. Unfortunately, many of us struggle with this self-concept idea. And so low self-esteem steps into place. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Low self-esteem is a concept that is widely used in our culture, and is often used when we're talking about emotional development. Self-esteem is the realistic respect for or favorable impression of oneself. So self-esteem has its root in self-respect. Are you with me? Low self-esteem is when you do not respect yourself enough, when you don't have a sense of worth for who you are as a person. And when you don't have that level of worth and you don't recognize your worth, you undervalue your life and the life that you think you can have. And so often we don't recognize then, because of that low self-esteem factor, that sense of self-worth factor. And it can be fractured. It can be wounded by a number of things, by the incidences that you go through, by the experiences that you have, by the encounters of life, by the words of somebody. All of this can be impacted by your environment. And so often, many of us fail to recognize our worth inherently. But we are the ones, even though we can't recognize our inherent value, we are the sole people that devalue ourselves. Nobody else can devalue you without your permission. My God, I'm preaching. No one can devalue you without your permission. You have to believe what they said. You have to believe their story. You have to believe their words. That's how our self-esteem can be damaged by other people. That's how we can have this compound emotional injury by accepting what they say, by accepting the institutionalized assessments of the organizations and the places that we go and the places that we learn from. We accepted what they said. But regardless of where you were born, who were you born to, who your daddy was, who your mama was, where you are, where you find yourself, you have immeasurable worth. Oh, God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's workmanship. You are his masterpiece. There is nobody else on the earth like you. No one has your fingerprint. Nobody else has what you got. You are worth it. Somebody right there needs to put in the comment, needs to type and let them own self get new language for how you feel about yourself. You are worth it. You are worth it. You are worth it. But what does all of this mean in the context of the scripture that we're talking about? We're talking about language and meaning. We're talking about the fact that language gives form to our thoughts. And we use language to convey an idea, to convey a concept, and give meaning to others. Language is the vehicle by which we express that creativity, that imagination. And so our words are more than the combination of letters and sounds or disposable expressions of thought. In the animal kingdom, if you want the science behind it, in the animal kingdom communicates with sound. Dolphins convey messages and information through a system of sounds understood by other dolphins. if you own a dog, you know that you can teach him to respond to a specific command. And he's also capable of connecting to the limited number of words to a certain object. And he can hear what you can't hear in a dog whistle. And the human language in and of itself is generative. And in other words, you're capable of producing and creating. This is indicative of the fact that when God created Adam and Eve and he gave them work in the garden, it was Adam who named Eve. It was Adam who gave her who gave language to Eve. He said, "She shall be called Eve, mother of all." God didn't name her. Adam named her. He named the animals. He named the plants. He was giving language to a new story. Now, you have the ability to create. Your language will determine your outcome. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your language will determine your life outcomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In scripture, there was a man that was born blind. And his neighbors had a particular concept of his identity. They previously saw him as a beggar. But when his sight was restored, the people had to adjust their thinking, my God, in response to what just happened in his life. Sometimes people will keep you trapped in what you went through because they don't have language for who you are now. So they can only call you what you were. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. But it's not what you were, it's what you went through. But yet, that's what they want to identify you as. So now he can see, but he's the beggar that was born blind. They have to get new language for a new story. Lord, have mercy. Language is powerful. It is designed to create reality. And the power of language cuts both ways now. That's why the power of life and death is in the tongue. Because it can enforce the presence of the invisible shackles, the invisible strongholds, the invisible self-limiting doubts and beliefs and the boundaries that we place around our lives. Or it can release latent potential. It can release surge of our destiny. But you have to connect language to meaning. Your words have to mean something. Meaning determines purpose. Lord have mercy. Language creates reality. But meaning determines purpose. And if you can understand the meaning behind the words that are coming out of your mouth, you can discover what's really holding you back. The text says that the 12 tribes of Israel were sent out on a mission, one man from each tribe, by Moses to go and spy out the promised land. Now, what you have to understand, they weren't over there for a day or two. The land that God was about to give them had a survey from individuals from 12 different tribes, which means there were 12 different perspectives. Each person had to have their own unique thoughts about what they saw in this new land. And as they go into it, they weren't there for a day or two. The Bible says they were there for 40 days. 40 days of walking around, 40 days of talking to people, 40 days of finding out that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, 40 days of discovering that the people that dwelt in that land was more fearful of them because they heard what God had did to the Egyptians on their behalf and they didn't want it to happen to them. 40 days of understanding that God was about to give this to them. And it was everything that God said it was. Now, you have to understand that each person had their own perspective. They had to. They were individuals. This is why God told Moses to pick a man from each tribe. And so each tribe was represented. And each person had the responsibility of coming back and articulating what they saw uniquely to their perspective. But they didn't. Out of 12 of them, it was only two of them that had new language for a new story. That meant 10 of them had to succumb to the perspective of at least one or two people who didn't believe that they could make it. And if you dig a little further, and if you go a little deeper, the Bible says that they were sent up and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin until Rehob as men came to Hamath. In other words, they went around and ascended by the south. And the way they came in to the promised land, there was nothing there. The way they came in, all they saw was the land. The way that God took them in was the way to see all the opportunities, not the problems. Coming in by the south means that they would not encounter any opposition when they went into it, in other words. And as they walked into it, all they saw was a vast amount of opportunity, vast amount of prosperity, vast amount of how they can live, vast amount of how they can flourish. And for 40 days, they walked in it. And when they came back, my God, they came back bearing the fruit of the land to let everybody know it's fruitful. It's flowing with milk and honey. How the 12 individuals see this level of opportunity and come back with this negative report. They were stuck in an old story. At least 10 of them were. They were stuck in what they went through. They were stuck in their history, so much so that they could not articulate their destiny. They were stuck in being slaves in Egypt, even though God brought them out in a mighty way. Even though they had just crossed over the Red Sea and watched Pharaoh's army be swallowed up just like that. Even though they came out and no one was sick and no one was bruised and everybody was healed after 400 years of generational trauma and slavery and hardship and blood and bruises, when they came out, everybody came out healed. And you want to tell me you coming back with the same old story that we can't make it? The same old narrative of it's too hard. After God did all that he's done, he said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Sure. It's great. But there are giants in the land. But there's this wrong with it. And there's that wrong with it. And it ain't got nothing to do with the land. It's got everything to do with their self-concept. It's got everything to do with their worth. It's got everything to do with how they feel about themselves, because they said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Nobody said nothing to them. Nobody said, if you come over here, you know what time it is. Nobody said nothing to them. They were able, as foreigners, to walk through the land for 40 days without any altercation, with nobody stopping them from taking fruit, which should have already let them know it's yours. My God, I feel like preaching. Nobody stopped them from carrying in the fruit. Nobody stopped them from surveying. Nobody stopped them from seeing where they could live. But they came back with this negative report. They came back with this self-concept of themselves, of being so small, of not having enough value. So much so that they gave old language to a new story. And whenever you give old language to a new story, you cut your future off. You stop yourself from being able to move forward. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you got to change the way you talk about your future. You got to change the way you talk about your destiny. You got to change the way you talk about your reality. You got to change the way you talk about your children. You got to change the way you talk about your spouse. You got to change the way you talk about your job. Stop saying this, I can't stand my job. You ain't never going to be able to stand it. Start saying that this is just a temporary spot where I'm honing my skills and I'm learning self-awareness and I'm learning the skills that I need to get to go to the next level. And I'm thankful and grateful to God that he gave me this opportunity to be able to practice what I'm about to become. Change your language. Change the way you talk about yourself. Change the way you talk about your life. Change your language. Because if you don't, you're going to be locked into an old story. This is the language of an old story. This is the language of them carrying the history of past traumas. They're contradicting themselves in the language. They're saying, well, the land is flowing with milk and honey and there's fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. How can the people be strong when a few verses down, you're saying the land devours the people? They're contradicting themselves because they're stuck in an old story. They can still hear the taskmaster's whip. They can still feel the mud pits and the straw. Their hands are still cracked by the making of bricks. And they have never been this free before. One of the benefits of the pandemic was freedom. I know it's hard for a lot of people, and I don't want to sound harsh, and I don't want to sound tone deaf. And I'm not. I know it's been a hard road for so many. We're surpassing 500,000 deaths. That's 500,000 kitchen tables. That's not going to have somebody sitting at them. I get it. I understand it. And I'm not marginalizing anybody's pain. But one of the benefits of the pandemic has been freedom. We have cut the cord from our comfort zones. The entire country is now trying to cut the cord from the thing that has caused us pain for so long, which is racism. We're trying to get free from all this stuff that keeps holding us back. Yet some people are still stuck in an old story. You can listen to them on the news and hear them talk when they talk. Same stereotypes, same dog whistles, same old, because they're afraid to give new language to a new story. Because when you've never been this way before, when you've never been here before, you don't know what comes next. But can I help you? Can I help you in this moment? Can I help you curtail that anxiety of not knowing what comes next? God, I feel the Spirit of the living God, and I know this is about to impact somebody's life. You can't worry about the next thing, because the next thing can only come out of the next you. Whoever you decide to be and the way you decide to talk will determine the next thing. You don't have to be afraid of the next thing. You are the next thing. But if you remain the same, same old defeated mindset, same old self-limiting beliefs, same old negativity, same old pessimism, same old talk of defeatism, nihilism, then the next thing will never come. And that's how you turn 40 days into 40 years. They were so bent on an old story, so stuck in it, that they silenced. My God, they silenced Caleb and wouldn't let him give new language to a new story. In your spare time, go read it later in the next chapter. Everybody rebelled. Because they can't come out of an old story, to the point where God had to tell Moses, none of them will see the promise. Don't turn 40 days into 40 years. Don't turn 1 year of setback into a decade. No, you got to find the new language for a new story. Caleb offered new language for a new story. He said, we can take it. He said, we can do it. That's where it all starts. When you find new language for a new story, it starts with saying, we can do it. We can take it. We can make it happen. You got to find new language right now for a new story. And whatever it is, you got to say, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Come hell or high water, we can do it. We can do it. It was Peter in the boat that needed new language for a new story. And he cried out and said, Lord, is that you? I'm tired of being stuck in storms. I'm tired of having anxiety of thinking I'm going to die on this boat. I'm tired of holding on to this boat because this is the thing I wanted my whole life. I'm ready to step out of my version of my life and into the version that you have for me. Lord, is it you? Tell me to come. You got to find new language for a new story. The woman with the issue of blood was looking for a new language for a new story. She says, come hell or high water, I'm going to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, which is why the Bible allows us to hear her version of the story. She's giving it new language. You have to start using new language if you're going to have a new story. And it starts with the words, we can take it. We can go after it. We can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It starts with your self-concept and your self-worth. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror. I am what God says I am. You're worth it. And if you can start speaking life into your situation, life into your life, you're worth it. And whoever told you you weren't, they lied to you. And don't feel sorry. Don't be upset. Don't feel bad for believing them. God is sending you another word. He's sending you another message to let you know you are worth it. He died for you so that you can live. When you discover new language to a new story, you won't turn 40 days into 40 years. You'll go in and possess what God has for your life. But here's the good news. Here's the wonderful news. That even if it's 40 years, the promise is still waiting for you, baby. Even if you got to wait that long, the promise of God are yes and amen. Even if it takes a decade, the promise is going to be there when you get there. You ain't got to rush it. You ain't got to feel like you're going to miss it. Whenever you arrive, it's going to be there when you show up. You just got to work on your language right now. Talk different, walk different, think different. And it all will change. And you'll step into where God has ordained for your life. You'll step into what he has promised you. And you'll flourish. And you'll live. I pray that you can find new language for a new story. And if you can't find it, go right to the Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Go right to the Word of the living God. The Word is your way. The Word is your way out of every situation and it's your way into every promise. You got to declare the Word of the Lord. It is the Word of God that's going to get you there. It is the Word that's going to frame the language that you need. Start speaking the Word. God, when you start speaking the Word cannot return unto God void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that he sent it to. If you would start declaring the Word, you would discover new language for a new story. You have to speak the Word of the living God. The Word of God is your comfort. It is your hiding place. It is your shelter. Because God hastens after his word to perform it. And as you declare the word of the living God, as you start speaking the word, signs follow the word. My God, I feel like preaching up in here. Signs always follow the word. And if you would open your mouth in this moment right where you are and start speaking the word of the living God. David said, thou art my shield and my hiding place. My hope is in thy word. And if you would put your hope in the word of God of what he said, it cannot fail. God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, shall he not do it? If he said it, shall he not make it good? It is the word. It is the word. It is the word that shall sustain you in this moment and in this season. The Bible says a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? It's time for you to start speaking the word and stop articulating your worries. Declare the word of the Lord over your life, over your children, over your family, over your business, over your house. Speak the word only. Because that's how you get new language for a new story. I pray this message blessed you. I pray that it touched you. I pray that it encouraged you, invigorated you to jump back into the word of the living God and start declaring it over your life, to see your worth and your value and to understand how powerful you are, and who you are and whose you are. I pray that you find new language for a new story. This message encouraged you. Share with somebody else. Let somebody hear the word of God. Click share right on Facebook right now. Give it to your whole upline, everybody that you're connected to. Let somebody hear the word of the Lord. I pray that it was that level of encouragement to you. Would you also consider continually being a blessing to this ministry so that we can continue to help people live a better life? You can do that by sowing any gift. Text Give KLC to 73256 or download our church app, click the giving icon, or go to our website at www.thekingdomlife.com and give there as well. However you choose to do it, whatever platform you do it on, do it as unto the Lord. And if you value yourself, hear me by the Spirit of God, value your faith. Value, put value in the things that are blessing you. That's what giving is all about. And so I pray that you do it cheerfully and not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, that no one coerced you to do it. You did it out of your heart because you love God and you love his work and you love his kingdom and you want to see it expanded throughout the earth. And you want to see souls saved and lives changed. And your giving helps that to happen. So thank you for your gift in advance. To everybody who's been giving faithfully during this season, God bless you. I pray God's abundance be upon you like never before. I pray that he does exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and may his precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you soon next week.